The Law Matters live radio show was created to open the lines of communication between law enforcement and the communities they serve. To learn more about Law Matters and support our 501c3 mission, go to lawmatters1030.org. To join the conversation, call in at 520-790-2040. Now, let's start the show. Good morning, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb. Are you on the phone?
I am. How are you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing great. It's been a long time since we've talked. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Just plugging away.
With the coronavirus and everything, you guys are staying safe?
Oh, yeah. We've been staying safe, and we've been fortunate. All my wife, my kids, we all still have jobs, so we're blessed. I mean, far more than a lot of people here in America, so...
It's been rough for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
So all your sheriffs, they have enough equipment to do what they need to do?
No, I wouldn't say we have enough equipment. I mean, this is definitely a wake-up call as far as what kind of equipment we're going to need to keep on stock. But, you know, we're not requiring our guys to wear a PPE. I think that's a tough decision because we don't train with those with PPE on.
That's
and
true.
So we do give our guys PPE. They have it. So if they run into a case where they feel like they need to use it, they have it. But we are not requiring them to go out and use it every day. Unfortunately, we don't use it every day, and we haven't had any deputies, knock on wood, that have contracted COVID. So that's good.
Oh, that's awesome. I know you've been working really closely, and I know Craig is on the phone, too, with Craig Sawyer from Vets for Child Rescue.
It's a pleasure to be on with you guys. I'm happy to be here and join you today.
Yeah, I watched the Contraland, and I know, Mark, you were a part of that. It's actually a feature film, isn't it? It's an hour and a half long.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
So I watched it. I was glued. And
yeah, Mark showed up all hateful because he was taller than me, and I don't know why a man would do that.
Sawman's in really good shape, so, you know, it made me feel bad.
He is in good shape.
I think everybody would be proud of Mark's part in it, and it was a great contribution. So we appreciate all our law enforcement allies out there, and Sheriff Mark Lamb is certainly one of them.
Mark, tell us how you guys work together. I know it's everybody's on the phone because we can't have people in the studio. It's kind of weird. So tell me how you guys work together on this. I think our audience doesn't know what Contraland is.
Well, I'll speak to that first. Contraland is an expose documentary to inform the American populace about the nature of child trafficking in the United States, because we can't fight a threat that we're not aware of. So it's an empowering piece, bringing the American people that knowledge of the nature of the threat. And in it, we worked with various law enforcement agencies, and we ran different type of operations to find out what's going on the southern border, what's going on in different parts of the country, and just show the people what's happening. And because we're local to Tucson, we were able to contact Sheriff Mark Lamb, and he gave us an overflight of the area and kind of showed us the vastness of Pinal County and what's on his plate as far as countering any sort of trafficking, whether it be drug trafficking or what have you. So he was just sharing some local atmospherics on the nature of trafficking in southern Arizona and some of his responsibilities and kind of more information about the drug cartels and how they move their products and kind of connect that to child trafficking and how they are in some ways the same. So he was a very powerful speaker and influence, and we were just so proud and thankful to have him make his contributions. So I'll shut up now and let Mark speak.
Thank you, Craig. And it was an honor to work with Craig. These guys are great. They're veterans. Come in. They what they're doing is so important because even over the last 2 months, we've seen a real increase in child predators because all these kids are home from school now. They're online doing video games. They're doing online schooling. And child predators know this. And so we've seen an increase in that, and we've actually made a few arrests during this time period as well. And that's why it's so important to America what these guys are doing. So when Craig reached out, this was already something that we take very serious here in Pinal County. And he reached out and wanted to know what was going on here in Pinal County as it relates to, in particular, trafficking coming across from the cartel. Now, fortunately for us, because of the logistics, we're in the desert area, 60 miles north of the border. So majority of the drug trafficking and human trafficking that we get do not involve children because the hike, that crossing of the desert is so difficult. But it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And we do get it, you know, on the I-10 and different places. And we definitely have houses in the in our county and obviously in everybody's county where they'll house children and other human beings that they've trafficked here into this country for whatever reason. And unfortunately with the kids, a lot of times it is for furthering their drug trade. But sadly enough, the majority of the time it's sex trafficking these kids into our country. So having people like Craig shine a light on this is really good. And I think with the current state, we've seen a lot of high profile people that are appear to be intimately involved in this trade and trafficking. And they'll do the best they can to stomp any project out like Craig's. And so it's good to see that Craig stood the test and fought through it and was able to put this together, because I hope that Americans can open their eyes a little bit more as to what kind of battle we're facing every day.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And it's amazing when you see the kind of person that's being arrested for this, federal agents, clergy people that you normally would automatically respect and trust, and they're doing some bad things, like you said, bad boys.
And like Craig will tell you, and you'll see in the movie, what it defies. There is no, you can't just look at somebody and say that's a sex predator.
Right.
It defies that. Like, these are people that, you know, we had an arrest here in our county where we arrested a guy who had just gotten hired on as a principal at a local school. And people said, how did he pass the background test? And they were background check. And we said, they did a great background check. This is not something that's in his background because he hasn't been caught for it yet.
Exactly.
And so they're very good at what they do. It crosses all boundaries, church leaders, school leaders, just normal people. And then, of course, you have the ones that actually do look like child predators as well. But it runs the gambit, and it's really difficult to find them. And Craig can talk more about that because they really did delve into all that.
Yeah, I saw it in the movie. When is this going to be released to the public?
I'm bringing it as soon as possible. We have one more legal block to check off. It's a type of insurance that we need, and we're almost done with that. So literally any day, it'll be one day this coming week, and I'm offering it at no charge to the public as a genuine public service announcement, because that's where my heart is. That's what I've wanted all along, is just alert the populace. And while we were hoping for a major platform to air it, to get likely over 100 million views, I started realizing that just the bureaucracy of big Hollywood and how complicit so many of the executives are and how resistant they are to getting this word out to the people, that it was going to take entirely too long. Now that we're completely done with it after 3 years of filming and we're ready to bring it to the people, it's going to take at least 4 to 18 months for it to air on any network, and it's just unacceptable. So I'm taking a leap of faith and just offering it to the public. And I'm just going to do a quick intro video asking people to please consider donating to our mission if they like what we're doing, and just offer it out there in good faith and see what happens, because I will not wait any longer.
Oh, hats off to you for that. It's so important. I've done so many shows on sex trafficking and trying to get people to open your eyes. This is happening. It's not something that, you know, is somebody's imagination. This is going on daily. And we have Congressman DeGrazia helping us. We're working on a bill that will help. And we've got that draft, by the way, Craig. I got the draft from Eric. And we're working on a bill to give law enforcement the authority to shut down some of these websites, and especially the ones that appear to be from out of the country when they're actually sitting right here in America. And with that said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. We have some amazing law enforcement agencies protecting Arizona, and we value their daily service and sacrifice. The Law Matters Live Show was created to open the lines of communication between law enforcement and you. So get your questions ready, set your alarm for 8, dial into AM 1030 The Voice, and join the conversation. To learn more about Law Matters and support our 501c3 mission, go to lawmatters1030.org. Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or a total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900. Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, we'll hear from Wyatt McRae on investments, Mark Barnes on how to prepare next year's taxes, and me on mortgage forbearance. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Sheriff Pinell County Sheriff Mark Lamb and Craig Sawyer from Vets for Child Rescue. And Mark, tell me about what's going on in your particular area. I looked at your website, and I know you're rerunning for office. I can't imagine anybody wanting to run against you.
But I did. You know, there's still people that don't agree with everything, and that's America. You know, we have the right to disagree with things, and obviously I've stirred up a hornet's nest the last couple of days by disagreeing with the governor on his current extension of the stay-at-home orders. I think it's very damaging to our economy. I think day by day, more and more people are being put out of work, and they're losing their businesses. So, you know, right now I'm just trying to continue to fight to protect the Constitution, protect people's rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And thank goodness we've got great men and women here that work at Pinal County and at the Sheriff's Office and do a great job, and a lot of volunteers. So we're very blessed.
I like your motto, God, Guns, and Freedom. I saw your T-shirts.
Oh, yeah, that is my motto, you know, and I'm a big believer in, you know, obviously, God, family, country. I love the Constitution. I love the Second Amendment. I think it's what's made this country great for so long.
It has. And, you know, when you think of how long it's been around, and we've actually been okay, no matter what happens. We've had a lot of ugly things happen to America, but we've always pulled together and pulled out of it. And I think that's
I don't know if Craig's still on the line, but I've spent a lot of time in other countries, and I've lived in other countries for many years at a time. And I'll tell you, for whatever you think of America, for whatever the shortcomings we have, this is the greatest country on earth. And when you come back here, you want to kiss the ground, because you can feel the freedom when you get off that plane. And though these other countries are beautiful and great, and they've got a lot of good things about them, there is nothing out there like America.
Yeah, that's true. And I know Craig has done a lot of world travel, too. Are one of you have a turn signal going? I hear a click, 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 click.
It's not here.
I wonder if it just stopped. John, the our board operator says it makes it sound like 60 minutes. We're imitating him. So, Craig, tell us about your world travels and tell us how this compares. And I know you've been everywhere in investigating sex trafficking. I saw it in the movie. Tell us what your experience is.
Well, generally speaking, it's been 60 countries around the globe that I've worked in one capacity or another, whether with an intelligence agency or federal law enforcement or in the counterterrorism realm. And some of the more memorable experiences were standing in mass graves in Bosnia in that conflict with a UN inspector and watching over his shoulder as he was turning bodies over with shell casings between them and their hands wired shut. And they were deemed to be casualties of conflict, whereas clearly they were executed. But those kinds of things stand out in your mind that seem like something out of Nazi Germany, but we're not used to seeing that here in our continental United States. And I couldn't agree with Sheriff Lamb more that when you return home to the United States, it is a welcome hug of freedom and liberty that you feel, because it is different here. Our founding fathers were so well educated on human nature and world history. They knew what happens when big governments become tyrannical with too much power for too long. Mankind does not historically handle complete power for very long that gracefully. Big governments tend to turn tyrannical eventually if given too much power over the citizens.
Sure.
Mark spoke about the Second Amendment. Well, our Second Amendment is kind of an equalizer, and that's what our founding fathers intended for us to have the ability to protect ourselves and to keep a giant tyrannical government from lining us up and exterminating us in a genocidal campaign, as has happened in socialist and communist governments around the globe, to the tune of over 100 million people systematically exterminated. So it's a beautiful culture that we've got here, and it is very special. Now, having provided such freedom and liberty and such absolute sanctuary of safety, unfortunately, the downside of that is we've got people that have grown up in this unusual incubator of freedom and liberty for which they do not feel appreciative. They do not understand the sacrifice and the work that it took to hack that out of a hostile and violent world.
That's
and
true.
Maintain that precious freedom and liberty for them here. So a lot of those people that have grown up in the safest, most prosperous culture ever on the history of the planet do not appreciate it. And in fact, they are voting to destroy it. They're voting for governments that we fought world wars to avoid coming here and having that level of control over our people. So it's unfortunate that there's not a greater understanding of the precious and valuable, the priceless freedoms and liberties we have here. So I think we really do need to revamp our educational system, where rather than indoctrinating our youth to beg for a hostile, tyrannical, socialist or Marxist government model, that they actually appreciate what we do have and recognize why a free market capitalist system under a constitutional republic is the best that we can do.
Oh, amen.
That's my blurb on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And my dad worked, and I've talked about my dad on the show before. He served in the Marine Corps, so did my mom. And my dad was in the Pacific Theater, and he was on Iwo Jima from the first day of the invasion until it was secured. And years later, he got a call from some government official saying that, you know, we want to take so many veterans back and apologize and, you know, have this ceremony. And my dad said, well, maybe you forgave them, but I haven't. And he hung up on the man. and you know, he took that to his grave. And when you see the impact, like my dad was fortunate enough to have his life, but the impact on him and what he fought for. And I remember when I was little, at Christmas, they gave me a little toy piano, and the first song I learned was the Marine Corps hymn.
Wow.
And, you know, you have to appreciate everything that they went through and to fight for what we have. And kids nowadays, they expect it. They demand it, but in a different way. They don't realize the sacrifice that went in to have the freedom that we have.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and Craig's right as well. We've got a generational thing here, and honestly, there are some people from other generations too that are older that have lost track of truly the beauty of this country. And I think it's a lack of people just not spending enough time other places to understand just how valuable freedom is and just how important this country is to the world. If we lose freedom here, there is nowhere else to go. There's nowhere, there's no more bastions of freedom out there. And so that's why it's so important that we stand firm on, and the Constitution is our guide. If we stand firm on the Constitution, and like Craig said, the Founding Fathers were so intelligent and so well-versed in human nature that they gave us a good
foundation,
blueprint, and foundation and blueprint for living life and being able to have happiness. It's not perfect. And here's the thing about it, and this kind of goes to the COVID thing, is in America, unfortunately, we all with success, we can get reach the highest levels of success in America. But with that comes, we can also destroy ourselves too. And that's why personal responsibility comes so important in this country. You have to have personal responsibility when you have been given freedom. And a lot of people do not understand the value of that. And with that comes risks. With that comes sad times, catastrophes, things that you think you could have avoided. But in the end, it's part of having freedom. We have to allow people to make poor choices or good choices. And I think that we've tried to make it to where we want everybody to make the right choice, and government's trying to get in and say, we'll help you make the right choice, and we'll do everything for you. And we have to resist that. We have to say, no, we're a free people, and we'll continue to govern ourselves. We can continue to teach them correct principles and let us govern ourselves after that. Teach them correct principles and let them govern themselves.
That's true. And I think a lot of that is lost in schools today, you know, integrity, correct principles, like you're saying, in teaching people the consequences of not using, you know, my dad used to say, use your head, your future depends on it. And, you know, don't be stupid. And you see kids nowadays doing some really dumb things. It'll follow them for the rest of their lives.
Thomas Paine wrote the book Common Sense. And unfortunately, common sense isn't so common anymore. And if you get a chance, any of the listeners out there, if you want to read a really good book by one of the founding fathers, Thomas Paine, Common Sense, it's a great book.
Oh, it is. I remember we studied that in high school. And, you know, everybody should read that. It should be mandatory.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, I know you're a defender of the Constitution, absolutely, and Law Matters actually gives out pocket constitutions, those little pocket-sized ones, to people, because I think people need to be reminded of, you know, this is the Constitution, let's defend it, but also let's respect it.
That's right.
So, okay, I know you had something to say, because one of your deputies told me you wanted to talk about President Trump.
No, I just, you know, I think we're in a, this has been the ugliest political atmosphere I've seen ever in my life. I think that, you know, people have really, I don't know, polarized themselves on both ends. You know, for what it's worth, for those people out there listening that maybe do or don't like President Trump, I've been back to the White House, I think, 9 times. I've spent 9 or 10 times around the president. I've never, this man just cares for the country. He loves freedom. He loves Americans, and he wants to do what's best for Americans. And this guy has been put in so many difficult situations through his 3 years of being president. I don't know that anybody else can withstand it. I mean, I can tell you right now, just as a sheriff, the political pressure you feel sometimes, just having to deal with the constant positivity and negativity, they're both difficult to deal with. To have to deal with that on a daily basis and have people trying to attack him on a consistent basis. I feel for our president. Now, you may not like everything he says, but I'll tell you what, it's refreshing to have somebody that's not a career politician in there that is actually turning over the apple cart. He is really shaking up that Washington, D.C. establishment that has existed and that is tearing away at the very fabric of this country. If we wouldn't have had him in there these last 3 years, they would have run roughshod over this country and the Constitution. And so for whatever you think of him, I've been around him. This guy loves America. And he has been a blessing to have him in here over these pivotal 3 years that we've had. Very crucial, because it really could have gone the other way.
Has he been to Pinal County?
He has not been to Pinal County. He's welcome to come anytime, but he has not been to Pinal County.
So have you been to any of his rallies? I know he has rallies in usually Phoenix. Have you been?
Yes. I did go to this rally, the rally that was they had shortly before everything got shut down. We had a rally out at the Phoenix Coliseum, and I went. And, you know, he did a great job. I mean, honestly, it was great listening to his son and Kimberly Guilfoyle. I don't know if I saw her name right. but, yeah, it was good. And you can, you know, you just feel it. Like, there was nobody being mean to each other at that. Everybody just loving America, and it was nice to be at.
Okay, with that said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, we'll hear from Wyatt McRae on investments, Mark Barnes on how to prepare next year's taxes, and me on mortgage forbearance. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
The FBI will train its national and international law enforcement partners on indicators of human trafficking throughout the year, which marks the 20th anniversary of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. The act provides tools to combat trafficking worldwide and requires the FBI to collect data on the crime. All 56 of the FBI's field offices have ongoing human trafficking investigations, more than 1,900 cases. That's an increase in the number of cases over the past several years. Deputy Director David Bowditch.
Most of the cases we see, roughly 90%, are commercial sex trafficking, and they're amongst the most heinous crimes that the FBI encounters.
The FBI's Victim Services Division ensures that survivors have access to emotional support, social services, and medical care.
We have to speak for the victims.
If you are a victim of human trafficking, call or text the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline at 888-373-7888. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or a total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Pinal County Sheriff Mark Land and Craig Sawyer, Sawman Sawyer, with Vets for Child Rescue. Mark, I want to know, when you started working with Craig on the sex trafficking, did you already have a broad idea of what was going on in this industry, because it is an industry, or was it something that just kind of opened your eyes?
Well, let me clear that question up just in case somebody just jumped on. It's Craig and I are not the ones sex trafficking. We're actually fighting against it.
True that.
You know, when he reached out to me it was a no-brainer. You know, we tried to figure out what the best way to look at Pinal County was. And at the time, we were looking at the effects that the cartels were having here. You know, that's where they were looking at. And, you know, we just didn't have it here in our county to the point where, you know, it was worth them sticking around for a long time. And they kind of migrated in here. You know, they came in here. We were able to show them what we had and look and see how we could help their project. And we just didn't have that element in our county because of, like I told you, the logistics of it. So Craig was able to get in here, look at it, make it part of his piece. And then he did a great job of going around and finding more agencies across this country, because we're all dealing with it. This is not something isolated to just
Arizona.
Arizona. This is everywhere, every community.
Absolutely. And it's something that's so widespread and so sad and so not talked about that I appreciate the sheriffs. I know Mark Daniels and and Mark Napier, all of you have been really right on this. And when you see it, you stop it, you prosecute. And how does this, being where you are from the border, you're 60 miles north of the border, how does border security affect your county?
Oh, border security is one of the key things that we deal with every day. Border security is not only important to our county and to Arizona, but it's important to America. 40 to 50% of all illegal drugs that come into America come through the borders of Arizona. And one of the difficult parts about our county is, you know, we're just north of Pima County, and both Pima County and I share an Indian reservation on the south end. And they, you know, they do the best they can, but it's not a heavily populated reservation, and it actually extends into Mexico. And so as you build the wall, the more border security you do, that's one area that you probably are never going to have a wall. And so we are probably going to struggle with border security forever as long as there's no wall or no heavy border security measures right there on the border. They're always going to find a way through Pinal County. So this is something we take very serious, and we're constantly working hard to try to stop the cartel from trafficking humans and drugs into this country. I tell people all the time, it's not about immigration anymore. This is about human beings and drugs being trafficked into America.
And the drugs that they're bringing in are deadly. They're not, you know, I'm going to get high this afternoon. They're deadly. They kill people.
They're bringing fentanyl into everything now. And they're lacing the marijuana with fentanyl. They're punching out fentanyl pills because Americans, they'll punch out a pill for a dollar and sell it here for $20, $30 in America. So that's a huge profit margin for them. Plus, they can take a big bag of pills and stuff it in a car somewhere or put it in a small backpack. It's a lot easier to pack that in than a 50-pound backpack of marijuana. And so you're just seeing a real shift, and the marijuana is being turned into BHO. The kids are smoking the wax pens, not just kids, people are. And that's pure THC. They stripped out the THC out of it, and it's pure THC, and that's the market. And so they're converting a lot of the marijuana into BHO, which is butane hash oil or honey oil or whatever you want to call it. And so, yeah, fentanyl is extremely dangerous, and that's why we get so many overdoses, is because of the fentanyl that the cartels are putting in their product.
So with this knowledge, why wouldn't there be a wall on the reservation?
You know, I'm also a person that will fight for a Native American community sovereignty as well. And if they choose to continue to not have a wall there, you know, then that's not my issue to deal with. You know, my issue to deal with is what comes into our county. And they do, you know, they work hard to try to protect their community as well, because they're affected by it. The drugs come into their communities too, just like it comes into ours. So this is something they want to stop. It just logistically, it puts them in a predicament, because their reservation actually goes into Mexico. So by putting a wall on the border, they'd be sealing off a piece of their reservation. I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a problem. You know, you want you to be like putting a fence in the middle of your yard and instead of
at the
edge of your yard.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and they want their people to be able to come and go freely in through their reservation. It's just, you know, it just logistically, it also gives the cartel an opportunity to get into as well. So.
So what are we going to do about stopping all this? What are your plans to stop the drugs from coming in? Is there any plan?
Oh yeah, we always have a plan. We're going to continue to fight. We are constantly working with Border Patrol, our other federal partners, local partners. We always have details. You know, we try to work up the chain as best we can, so that not only are we hitting these guys that are the low level guys bringing it across, but you know that we're hitting the high level people that are really the ones trafficking it in. And so, you know, we're constantly working those investigations. We're constantly, I think, supporting the president and his initiatives and his willingness to implement more border security as a piece of it. I would love to see more funding come to the local agencies, federal funding, so that we can, because we're the ones, the boots on the ground all the time. And that, you know, I know Cochise County, Yuma County, Pima County, you give these guys some more funding, and they'll be able to do a lot. And so I would love to see more funding come to the local agencies and along the border. And it's a fight that we're always going to have to fight.
We had a listener just call in and ask, why don't they use drones on the border? I think they do, don't they?
They use drones. So the border is very expansive, and most drones only fly a mile, 2 miles, you know. So you still have to be within a few miles unless you have a really expensive drone that can fly further. You know, Craig's been in the military. He knows the difference between the drones. I mean, there's drones that will fly many, many miles, and those are very, very expensive. Yeah. And a drone is only going to detect it. You still have to get your people out there to actually corral these people, and that is not easy, you know. It's a huge desert. They can see you coming. They can hear you coming. And they, you know, we contacted a group, and we had a guy go on a full sprint, ran for 5 miles.
Oh, my God.
We followed them in our helicopter, and at one point, we decided to go back to the other group. We lost them. Instead, just kept running through the desert for 5 miles. So,
wow.
It's a tough thing.
Whose airplane were you in the movie?
That's one of ours. It belongs to the Border Patrol, and we actually have it. They help us a lot. They pay for fuel. It's great. It actually has a couple $1 million worth of camera equipment on it, so we can use that to actually see smugglers from 4 or 5 miles away. We can use and zoom in on them doing loading out vehicles and bringing drugs into the country. So it's been a great tool for us.
Now, I think Sheriff Daniels was on, and he tried to explain that you can call in if you see somebody, but by the time Border Patrol or, you know, the responding agency gets there, it could be a while, because this is a desert, yeah, and it's vast, open places. So they might not go to where you called in. They're going to go to where the people are going. So you may not even realize that they've responded to that call, because they're, you know, 20, 30 miles away from you now. But they do respond.
We do. And here's the challenge that we're going to be running into shortly. In the summer, we end up spending a lot of our time and our resources with Border Patrol doing humanitarian missions.
Yes.
It gets so hot that the cartels, people will fall out. You know, they weren't prepared for the hike. And sometimes the cartels just do it just as a diversionary tactic. And they'll actually call 911 and say, hey, we left this guy here underneath this Palo Verde tree, and so you got to come get him. And so, you know, we're Americans, so we want to go and save these people. So we use our resources to try to find this guy. And we had one last year. We found him, and we had to give him 3 bags of IV. While we were dealing with him, Border Patrol had 7 more 911 calls on the board waiting. Wow. Of all smugglers that were either lost or hurt or whatever it be. And so it takes a lot of our resources. And, of course, we have to take them to the hospitals and treat them, and that also becomes a cost that we absorb as Americans.
Yep.
And I just don't think that people understand how far-reaching and what an impact not having, you know. That's why border security is so important, because this impact is huge on our economy and on our country.
And the majority of what the response is to humanitarian effort to try to save people from hurting themselves by running out in the desert without the equipment and the necessary, you know, water, things they need. And I find it's just amazing. I did the, and if anybody has a chance, I don't know if they're doing it now, but I went through their Citizens Academy, and they took us out to cells, and I was just floored at how many people they could watch coming over the border, the distance between, how long it took to get to them. And, you know, you have people that, well, as soon as they see law enforcement, they're going to run. They don't care which direction it is. One guy fell off a cliff, so now it's a rescue. It's just insane to watch what goes on down there and try to deal with it. And my hat's off to all of these agencies who are out there, you know, doing what they do, risking their own life to save somebody else's.
Sherry, we did a pilot for a Discovery Channel series called Hell's Crossing, and it was the unsanctioned, unwhitewashed version of border wars. It was the true nature of the activity across our southern border and how it all works. And we spent a week filming that first pilot. And it's just like Sheriff Lamb says, we talk to politicians, ranchers, coyotes themselves, all manner of people involved in this, federal and local law enforcement, and we were able to dig down and show just exactly how it really all worked down there so that the American populace could understand and vote accordingly. Well, Discovery Channel, when they received that pilot, they were so excited about beforehand, they're like, yeah, we want this to be hard-hitting, you know, no unflinching, bring the true, brutal, you know, accuracy of what's really going on. When they saw the extent of how it's really run, they ran a security assessment on airing the series, and then they ran another security assessment, and they seized up and went quiet, and we've never heard from them again. That's probably been about 6 years ago now.
Oh, my God. You're kidding. Do you have that footage?
We do have the footage. It's not mine. It belongs to – there's a high-level production company that filmed it, so the footage belongs to that production company, very successful and powerful production company. I was just one of the two co-hosts. It was another former Army Ranger, Tim Abel, who's he played the lead in the Soldier of Fortune television series a few years back, and he's a big veterans advocate, fantastic guy. In fact, you can see me interview him on one of my episodes of Sawman Says. But the American public, unfortunately, were not alerted and educated on that nature as we wanted them to be, because Hollywood said no.
That's crazy.
With Contraland, I'm not going to take no from big Hollywood as an answer. I'm bringing the truth straight to the people.
And I appreciate that, because the people need to know the truth. And that's what we're about. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back in a few. Law Matters Live Show airs Saturday mornings at 8 when our listeners ask questions of people who have answers. On our next show, we'll hear from Wyatt McRae on investments, Mark Barnes on how to prepare next year's taxes, and me on mortgage forbearance. This is your show, Arizona, so get your questions ready to join the talk. You don't want to be left out. Set your alarm for AM 1030 The Voice. And we can't do the show without your support. Please go to lawmatters1030.org to contribute.
The FBI says the fastest-growing financial crime in the United States targets some of society's most vulnerable citizens, children and the elderly. It's called synthetic identity theft, and it differs from traditional ID theft because criminals don't steal an identity, they create one using a combination of real and fake information. When they use that identity to apply for credit, a new credit file is generated. The fraud is difficult to detect, so to help prevent your child's Social Security number from being used as part of a synthetic ID, the FBI's Jill Adams suggests checking their credit reports, and
parents can request that credit bureaus freeze their children's credit.
Supervisory Special Agent Zachariah Baldwin.
The other thing they can do is have their children signed on as an authorized user for their credit profile. They don't actually have access to the card to make purchases, but they're linked to their accounts. This is often done to build their credit.
With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Getting a reverse mortgage with the new rules and expanded limits can be a positive, life-changing experience. The reverse offers multiple ways of having your equity work for you, from a monthly income, an interest-bearing equity account, or total cash out. Give me a call and let's see which reverse option best works for your future plans. Call 520-310-9900. Ask for me, Sherry. That's 520-310-9900. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Sheriff Mark Lamb from Pinell County and Craig Sawman Sawyer from Vets for Child Rescue. And just before we went to break, we were talking about this Discovery. Was it Discovery promo that you did? Is there a way of contacting these people to see if they can release it, like on social media?
There is a way. Yes, I'm still in contact with the production company, so that is an option if they wanted to do that.
I'd post it on my website. I think people need to see. People need to know.
Yeah.
And it's really, and that's why we are asking Congressman DeGrazia to help us out with this bill to give law enforcement the authority to shut down some of these websites that appear to be from overseas when actually they're sitting right here and they're sex trafficking kids, children, underage children. And I think it's just something we need to give our law enforcement the authority to really go after it instead of just saying, oh, it's from the UK or it's from, you know, China. We can't do anything. Yes, it can. Let's make it happen.
Well, not only, yes, ma'am, not only the authority, but the training and the support. Because a local police officer may see something, but if he doesn't feel like his leadership is going to back him or he doesn't feel like he's adequately trained to deal with it, they may be looking at a truckload of dope, for example, and know very well how to process that, but not necessarily feel confident in on how to process the children that they encounter, because there's very specific procedures in caring for a child that's been trafficked and exploiting that intelligence, that information on how the child was sent there and where they're going and what it's all about. So they deserve the training and the support up and down the chain of command as well. So I think that's an important part.
What is that noise?
I don't know.
Sorry, it was a truck driving behind me.
Oh. So you're on duty. You're out there working.
I'm out and about, yep.
Okay, so, yeah, I think the training is important.
Yeah, so we just want to support them with all the aspects of what they need to do it, because if you're going to be facing harm's way, you want the proper training and to know that your supervisors and superiors are going to back you in it. And a lot of times that needs to be a national initiative so that it goes all the way up the chain of command, because even if Sheriff Mark Lamp wanted to do it, if he wasn't supported from those that he answers to, it would make it difficult. So I think a holistic solution for the country is in order against something that's growing as quickly as child trafficking is and harms us all as it does.
I agree.
And, you know, one of the beauties of the office of sheriff, and I think that's, Sawman could probably tell you that the majority of the people he probably worked with on his project were sheriffs, is because we don't have bosses. You know, our boss is the people of our county, and that's who I have to respond to, and that's who I'm beholden to. And so that gives us more flexibility than, let's say, maybe a police chief might have, who really works for a city council or those types of things. And so when you find sheriffs that truly are constitutionally minded, who are not afraid to stand up to the things that are wrong in our society and fix those things, it is a beautiful thing. And I'm sure that that Sawman got a lot of support from different sheriffs, and they probably opened the doors to him where he might not have got that from other agencies, just because we have the freedom to do that, because we work for the people, and we don't have to worry about whether we appease a certain group of politicians or not. Ours is, as long as the people are happy, they'll keep voting you in. If not, then they're not.
So tell me, Mark, how long have you been sheriff?
I've been sheriff now for three and a half years almost.
And I know you've been very active media relations-wise. You've done a lot of things. You've done shows. Tell me about that portion of your job, because you are one to get out there and educate people.
Yeah, you know, I didn't seek any of those things out. I'm just one of those people that I believe that opportunities, so many people say, well, I never get these opportunities. Yeah, they do. They just don't take them when they come. Timing and opportunity very rarely align. And, you know, I've definitely pushed my people outside the box, and I've been, you know, I've got some great people that work with me and support our mission. And I've definitely taken us to some uncomfortable places, things that most agencies don't do. But I've done it because, one, it's benefited our agency, it's benefited our hiring processes, and we've benefited in the sense that it's brought a lot of good exposure to Pinal County, and you know, it's something that most people wouldn't do, but we've done it, and I think it promotes law enforcement in this country. That's probably my primary reason for doing a lot of this, is it promotes a profession that I felt like over the last administration really took a hit, and a beating, and people started to view law enforcement as maybe the enemy or in a negative light. And I think that shows like Live PD, Live PD Wanted, and all these other things that promote law enforcement really give you an idea of what we deal with on a daily basis. So that's why I do those things. And if you do the job like everybody else, you're going to get the same result. So I try to think outside the box, and I think we're in a new age of law enforcement where you have to do things a little bit different to get results.
Absolutely, and that was the whole reason we created this radio show, was to give law enforcement a platform instead of a soundbite and a newscast where they can actually talk to the people, tell them what they're about, tell them what's going on, and get answers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just so happy that you guys are cooperative with this.
Well, oh, yeah. I love getting the word out.
Yes.
I love the concept, the entire concept of the Office of Sheriff, because as Sheriff Lamb so eloquently pointed out, they are accountable directly to the people whom they serve. And it's not so much that way in federal law enforcement. I managed a field office in Las Vegas with 210 agents for about 6 months until they could hire more first-line supervisors. And I witnessed all kinds of different behavior within federal law enforcement during my 5 years in that capacity. And the downside to federal law enforcement is the culture of the absolute guaranteed job security, which I have witnessed to kill incentive to perform. So you still have great agents there that do a fantastic job, but you have, unlike everywhere else, in federal law enforcement, this no sense of urgency to necessarily perform the job, because you're not going to be fired no matter how poorly you do. You have to do something very quite egregious
to
be relieved of duty. And I think that is counterproductive if Agent A gets up early, shows up early, makes all kinds of great things happen, and only gets stifled for it and resented for it, while Agent B shows up late, if at all, and never really produces, and he's treated the same, paid the same, promoted the same, or even better than Agent A, then that's counterproductive. It kills incentive to perform, and that's something we need to revisit nationally, find a healthy solution. I don't begrudge our agents having job security. I just have seen that culture of guaranteed job security is counterproductive on the performance.
You made me think of the post office when you described that.
Yes, ma'am. Same dynamic. So it is healthy to have an attrition whereby if you don't perform, you get weeded out, and people that perform to a greater degree rise to the top. That serves the people best.
And so you know what?
We have to be careful how we run things.
That's where I see Sheriff Lamb, because he does things outside of the box, and he does it for the community. He's got a very safe county up there, and the people have responded to him, and I think he's going to get reelected.
And thank you, and I appreciate you saying that. And I was just going to say, I've treated this more like a business where I'm returning a product, so the taxpayer is putting money in. And I treat it like a business. I take it serious. I want to produce to the highest level for these people that have invested in their sheriff's office. And so the way to do that, in my opinion, is you create an atmosphere, like Craig was talking about. If you create an atmosphere of where you put down the guy that's really trying to be a hard charger and the slug still makes the same amount, then you're going to end up getting more and more slugs as you go along. Where
yes.
If you give these people pride in their agency and in their patch and in what they're doing, and they know that the sheriff has their back and that he stands for the right things, you'll be amazed at what your staff will do. They step up. And
they will rise to the occasion.
That's right. They want to be part of something greater. And that's what we've tried to do here. We've really tried to create something. And look, it puts me in a situation where I'm in the limelight. I get a lot of negativity, a lot of positivity. It's not always easy to deal with, but it's what's best to really push Pinal County forward, our agency, and give our guys that fire to come into work and want to be part of this and really feel like they're making a difference in their community. From 2017 to 2018, Our crime index dropped 16%.
Awesome. Awesome. Are you hiring?
We are hiring. Come to Pinal, go to Pinal County Sheriff's Office online and find us and apply.
Okay, and I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. And we're still trying to raise funds for our canine unit. If you go to lawmatters1030.org, the link to the GoFundMe is on there. And until next week, I want everybody to stay home, stay healthy, stay safe. And thank you both for coming on.